bless your name, God. Father, we come before you as humbly as we know how. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who first loved us before we loved ourselves, Father. Father, we thank you for the shepherd of this church, Father. We thank you for leaning on his heart to give me this opportunity to stand before your people this morning. Father, we come asking for your Holy Spirit power this morning, Father. Hide me behind the cross. Don't let them see Kenny, but let them see you working through me, Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. We pray for the soul that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sins this morning, that they would answer the question, what must I do to be saved? And Father, for those that are of the household of faith but don't have a pastor, don't have a local church to connect themselves to, Lord, that they can truly be the disciples that you called them to be, Father, we ask that you tug their heart this morning, Lord, that you touch their mind, that they might join this body of believers, that they may be all that God has created them to be, Father. We thank you for this time and we thank you for this hour. It's in your son Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Y'all got me excited on that song. My wife knows that's my song. I play that every morning, Reverend Taylor. Every morning. Every morning. Y'all bear with me. Dr. Cofield had mentioned, I've been in this thing for some while, and he had asked me, he said, how long you been preaching, Reverend? I said, I had to think about it. This year is 30 years in the ministry. Yeah, I was called at 5. And but seriously, I was called at 15. And under the leadership of my father in the ministry, Reverend Samuel C. Ammons. And I've been doing it ever since, y'all. And it has been a very rewarding experience. A very testing experience. Any of you that have been in ministry for some time, you know that God is going to test you, amen? He's going to see what you really are made of, because it's easy to say I got faith until you got to show that you have faith. And so I thank God, even through all that I've been through, that I can see his hand on my life, that he has not forsaken me, nor has he left me. And so for that, I'm grateful, amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so this morning, I would like to start by saying, you know, we've all been there before. And funny thing, ironically, the Lord fit this thing just well based on what I've been going through the last 24 hours. You're driving, you miss your exit, and your GPS says, recalculating. Make a U-turn when possible. Now, here's the real question. What happens if you don't listen? You keep driving. You keep justifying. You keep telling yourself, I'll fix it later. And before you know it, you are farther from your destination from when you started. That is exactly what happens spiritually when you ignore God. When you walk in self-deception, you convince yourself you're fine, while drifting further from God's will. But when we confess, I say when we confess, you're saying, God, you're right. And when you truly repent, you don't just feel sorry, you turn around. Not a 90-degree adjustment, not a 360-degree emotional moment, but a Holy Spirit-led 180-degree turn. And here's the truth you must understand today. Your belief determines your obedience, and your obedience determines your direction. I'm gonna say that again for somebody that missed it. Your belief determines your obedience, and your obedience determines your direction. And so if there were a title for this morning, for our lesson, it's Daily Confession That Leads to True Repentance. Daily confession that leads to true repentance. Our text will be coming from 1 John, the first chapter, and verses 6 through 10. And if there were an underlining theme to the lesson, it would be making the necessary 180-degree turn in life to be blessed. Making the necessary 180-degree turn in life to be blessed. So our first point for this morning, if we're going to really make the 180-degree turn, and we're not going to continue to go in the wrong direction, because funny thing is that all of yesterday, pretty much, I was driving from Albuquerque, New Mexico, back to Houston, Texas. So I had a firsthand experience with the GPS telling me, recalculate. To the point where, if you know, if any of you, you know, utilize the GPS, which I think we all do, I hate driving through Dallas. I'm sorry, y'all, those of y'all from Dallas, no pun intended. I don't like the Cowboys either, so that might have something to do with it too. But nonetheless, when you drive through Dallas, there were certain sections of 287, if you ever come through Fort Worth, coming back this way through Houston, where that freeway starts splitting up, y'all. And it starts splitting up in ways that you have to really be trusting the GPS. And one of the things that was very ironic on the drive back was that it would say, we get to a split, it would say slight right. Now, mind you, the slight right means there's three options, though. And they don't give you any name of the sign. They don't tell you which direction exactly. So me and my daughter, we both struggling. Now, mind, she 23. She should be able to know how to do this. So we both following GPS, and we going to the right. And mind you, we take that right. It's a recalculating because we took the wrong turn. So we got to come all back around 287, went over the freeways, come back the other way. And slowly but surely, we got home. But unlike the GPS, which is man-made, the Holy Spirit speaks in a soft, quiet voice. But how many times has he said, turn right? And we say, no, I'm not doing that right now. Or we see that we're going in the wrong direction, but we just flat out ignore it and thinking that we're going to be able to fix it down the road. But then that takes us further than where we want to go. It makes us stay more than we want to stay, and it makes us pay more than we was wanting to pay. So the first thing, if we're going to really effectively utilize daily confession that leads to true repentance, the first point is that you must be honest with yourself. One of my favorite quotes is by William Shakespeare. He says, to thine own self, be true. See, you can lie to me. You can lie to your mama. You can lie to your spouse. You can lie to you can even lie to your children. But there's two things you cannot lie to effectively, yourself and God. See, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. This is about you, with the key idea that self-deception prevents spiritual growth. Self-deception prevents spiritual growth. See, if you deny sin exists, you're not fooling God. Because self-deception happens when, one, we minimize what God calls sin. See, we don't want to call a spade a spade. Self-deception happens when you justify what God condemns. You know, in this new age, relativism is the key. You know, what's good for me is good for me. It don't have to be good for you, but it's right. If I say the sky is purple to me. But what does the word of God say? And then ultimately, self-deception happens when you ignore what God reveals. And God is always speaking to us. And there's really a deeper issue, y'all, that disbelief, again, produces disobedience. If you don't truly believe God's word, you will not obey it. And for the unbeliever, this goes even deeper because scripture points to the root issue as sin, the singular sin, a condition, not just the behavior. See, a lot of times we want to fix the act before we deal with the mind because all sin starts in the mind. And so just like 1 John 1 and 8 says that if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. Or like Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 says, indeed, there is not a righteous person on earth who always does good and does not ever sin. Or as in Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has called the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. And one of my favorites, Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, the issue is not just what you do, it's who you are apart from Christ. See, you don't need behavior modification, you need salvation. See, we need the Lord to save us from ourselves. Then left to ourselves, we shall destroy ourselves because until you believe that, you will continue to live in disobedience. One of my favorite passages of Reverend Ammons that he left with us ingrained in our minds, Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, one who conceals his wrongdoings will not prosper, but one who confesses and abandons them will find compassion. I like the way he told us. He said, if you continue to live in sin, you will always be a failure. But if you name it and acknowledge it, God will show mercy and you will be blessed. So the second thing, if we're going to truly exhibit daily confession that leads to repentance, the second thing that we have to note is that you must agree with God and change your conduct. One of the things Reverend Ambrose used to say all the time when you walk in his office, when he had the shop on Dowling, I go to the print shop. And this is, I'm the young man. This is me at TSU. And I would walk down to Dowling. Now it's Emancipation. That's why I got confused. They keep changing our names of our streets. So I'd walk down to Dowling, go sit with Rev at the shop. And the first question he'd ask me, Reverend, how's your conduct? I'm like, what you talking about, Rev? How's your conduct? I know you're a young man, so I know you. I got to ask you that question. I said, Rev, I ain't doing that. I already know you've been up on down Dollar. Rev, I don't even live on Dollar. I don't even come over here on Dollar. But the first thing we'd ask you is that, how's your conduct? But that's a key thing, because as you must agree with God and change your conduct, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 and verse 9 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous so that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, one of the things that we got to note, y'all, is that you cannot claim connection with God and live in contradiction to him. Your conduct reveals your belief. Confession means agreeing with God about our sin. But one of the things that I note in the study that was very pivotal is that I've looked at 1 John 9 all my whole life. Most time I start my prayers off with that, because you got to recognize that in order to be in fellowship with God, that you have to be in fellowship with him. And how you get in fellowship with him is that you have to call sin the way God calls sin. That you got to see sin the way God sees sins. That you have to agree with God. And that's true fellowship. Because one of the things about fellowship is that there's commonalities on the core things. Doesn't mean that you necessarily are 100% on everything. Because ain't no fellowship 100% necessarily. But that you agree on the main thing. I like how Pastor Kofi says that making the main thing the only thing. And see, the only thing with God that he's truly concerned with is that, how do you see sin? Do you see sin the way I see sin? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect, that you commit no sin, because we just looked at the text that if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and we call God a lie. But that ultimately that God wants to know at your core, do you agree with my word? Do you see sin the way I see it? Because see, one of the things about 1 John 9, you know, although we might interpret it as a license to sin, it's actually a license to serve God. See, God already know that we have something in us called an old sin nature that was going to be contrary to his will, contrary to his plan, contrary to his character, but that his grace is so sufficient, y'all. He wasn't surprised by that nature. He said, I got something for that nature. It's called grace. And inside of that grace, he says, if you just name your known sin. See, he don't even need you to remember the ones that you don't even know is a sin or that you forgot. He just wants you to call the things that you know to be wrong with me, say it in that hour. And that the next part of that text, which is so pivotal, he says that he is faithful. You ain't got to be faithful all the time. See, God takes care of what we can't take care of ourselves. And even though it says righteous, I like another interpretation of that text where it says he's just, meaning that God is fair. He don't care if it's Dr. Cofield. He don't care if it's me. He don't care if it's the person up in the top balcony. If you name it, you are forgiven. But you got to acknowledge, you got to call it, and you got to agree with God and see it the way that he sees it. And it doesn't mean that it's everything. Because until we lay down this flesh, we're going to be dealing with something. But the key is that you ought to be growing and moving and progressing. Every round ought to go higher and higher. We ought not still be dealing with the same things that we were dealing with when we first met Jesus. That we ought not still be struggling with those things that, like we talk about in strongholds and rooting and grounding. I love that week 5, week 4 and 5 now coming in the new curriculum. Because the things that a lot of times we get caught up in strongholds, but really, a stronghold is what we truly allow, because we rather than us dealing with the condition, we want to deal with the behavior. But we got to deal with the condition first, and the condition is that, do you agree with God? Because God is calling you higher, not just to confess, but that ultimately in 1 John 1 and 7 says, but to walk in the light. That means you agree with God. That means you align with God. That means you obey God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 through 3 says that he himself is the propitiation, meaning that he satisfied sin. See, really, if we was be honest and we was good students, we would know sin really not the issue. The issue is, what say you about Jesus Christ? Is he just the carpenter's son? Is he just a prophet? But is he the true son of the living God that came to satisfy the debt that we ourselves could not pay? Because it says not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world, meaning that it's not just for those that would believe right now, but that he wants even those that are yet on the fence. He said, the sin really ain't the issue. It's what you say about me. Do you see me as what you need or just what you want when convenient? Because confession says, God, you're right. But the key, we said daily confession that leads to repentance. Rather than saying, God, you're right only, repentance says, God, I'm changing. I want to change. I want to turn. Because if we think about it, John the Baptist's whole message the whole time was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he was preparing the way for the salvation. But before you could really even get prepared to receive the salvation, you had to recognize what he really was calling you to change your way of thinking. And that leads us to our third point. It says that you must believe God's word and obey it. You must believe God's word and obey it. 1 John 1 and 10 says, if you say you have not sinned, you make him a liar. See, when you deny sin, again, you contradict God. Now, hear this clearly. The issue is not information. Because we hear sermons. You can read scripture. You can know theology, or how we used to say doctrine. Not doctrine, doctrine. You know, that's when you sophisticated. You know, them DTS folks know all about that. And still not change. Why? Because the issue is not information, but belief. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, love is an action. It's what I define as maximum concentration. See, that which you love, you are maximally focused on. You're so focused on you that it consumes all of your thinking and all of your being. But if we be honest with ourselves, how many of us can truly say that on a consistent level that we are loving, keeping God's commandments? My God. Amen to me too, Lord. But that the Bible says my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So either it is or it's not, but we got to make up in our mind what it's going to be in regards to us trusting God, because belief produces obedience, and obedience reveals belief. See, one of the examples that came to mind when I got to this point was that things that we believe, we do. I'm going to break it down. Help me, Holy Ghost. Things that we believe, we do. Powerball say 757 million. We stop by the gas station and get us a Powerball with a power play. And we might get two or three of those bad boys, because we believe we might win that thing. And we follow the instructions to go get the ticket. Some of us believe that fried pork chop is good for our souls. And so we fry it, we season it well, and we eat it. Knowing good and well, the doctor say your cholesterol is out of the Richter scale, okay? But what if we apply that same kind of trust, that same kind of mindset, that same kind of concentration to the things of God? It tells us in the Old Testament, it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better than you singing up here on Sunday morning. It's better than you playing. It's better than you sitting in the pews. Obedience is what God wants. But the key thing with obedience is that if you're obedient, there's the thing that comes with it. Blessings. See, we want the blessings without the obedience, but God is trying to get us to understand, as in Psalms 95 and 8, he says, do not harden your hearts at Meribah as on the day of Manasseh in the wilderness. He said, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Stop being so stubborn. Stop being so stiff-necked. The Meribahs were where they chided with God, and yet they chided, but God has set them free. They wishing about, in Egypt, but in Egypt you was a slave to bondage. God is freeing you, but yet you worrying about Egypt. The issue is not information, y'all. The issue is belief. So, how do you stay in repentance? Repentance is not a one-time turn. It's a daily direction. So here are four proactive ways to stay aligned with confession, because confession leads to repentance. See, only a crazy person gonna keep saying something's wrong and keep doing it. See, it's just like, I've been trying to lose weight for the last 5 years. And no matter how many times I say I'm going to go work out and how I'm going to eat right and do all that, I got to do the work. Because if not, I'm a crazy person lying to myself, trying to deceive myself. And one of the things that I recognize, it's a hard thing to deceive yourself. Because at the end of the day, you and God know the truth. And the truth of the matter is that you have to do the work. And if you do the work, and see, one of the things about God is that all he really needs out of us is just a mind to say yes. He does the work. He does the changing. His spirit talks to our minds and helps us to not cuss out that person that we normally would cuss out. His Holy Spirit helps us to calm down the situations that we would be flipping tables and jumping on chairs. And his Holy Spirit keeps us in a place of peace in the midst of all chaos going on around us. Because that's what God does. See, God pleases himself, through us being just obedient. The passage of scripture says that we were saved by faith and not by works. Listen, the man boasts. He had to put that in there because if we had anything to do with our salvation, help us, Holy Ghost. And all that's required for salvation is just enough faith to get saved. Because the mustard seed is the smallest seed in agriculture. But God efficaciously, meaning that it produces an intended purpose. His grace is so sufficient that all he needs is to say yes. He said, I got the rest. But how do you stay in this state of repentance? How do you stay in the state of mind of trying to turn and change your mind and agree with God and see life the way God sees it? First thing you must do is daily surrender to God's authority. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That means, God, not my will, but yours. The second thing that you have to be reminded of is that you must be in consistent exposure to God's word. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Truth keeps you aligned before you drift. See, before you veer off, truth's going to come to you. The Holy Spirit's going to bring it back to your remembrance. You say, oh, wait a minute. I ought not go to that place. I ought not be talking to that person. I ought not be touching what I shouldn't be touching and doing what I should be doing. The third thing is that immediate obedience to the Holy Spirit is required. Again, Hebrews 3, verse 15 says, while it said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. See, delayed obedience becomes disobedience. When God convicts you, respond immediately. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. In the same hour that God gives you what he requires of you, do it. The fourth and final thing, accountability with the right people helps you along the way. James 5 and 16 says, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. But I want you to hear this clearly, y'all. Not everyone is qualified to hold your confession. You need someone who is spiritually mature, trustworthy, able to encourage and restore and not condemn, not have your business all in the street. Accountability is not exposure, it is protection and it's growth. See, the reality check that we got to keep in mind, God will always do his part. The question is, will you do yours? And when things don't change, ask yourself, is it because God hasn't done his part or because you haven't done yours? See, God is not calling you to a partial change, not a 90-degree adjustment, not a 360-degree cycle. God is calling you to a 180-degree turn, a complete shift in your thinking, a complete shift in your behavior, a complete shift in your obedience, because blessings follows obedience. See, the GPS is still speaking, recalculating, make a U-turn when possible. But God is doing the same thing in your life through his word. God is doing the same thing in your life through conviction. God is doing the same thing in your life through this very moment. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, will you obey? Because you can hear direction and still go the wrong way. Or you can make the necessary turn. And when you make that Holy Spirit-led 180-degree turn, you align with God. You experience his blessings, and your life becomes useful for his kingdom on earth. This is your moment, y'all. Not to make another excuse, not to delay what God has already convicted you in your own heart and in your mind, but one, to believe God, to agree with God, and to obey God, and make the turn. May God bless you, and may he keep you. Amen, amen, amen. We're now at the part of the service where we open the doors of the church and provide an invitation for those that need a Savior, that recognize they need to make a shift, not only in their behavior, but in their soul, that they want to be in alignment with God, that they want to agree with this Holy Spirit calling. What must I do to be saved? And then for those that are here that have accepted the call of faith, that you've been in Sunday school and you've been in Bible studies, but you don't have a local church home to call, that you are not attached to the vine that gives the nutrients necessary that you can produce the life of discipleship, that you can produce the life of obedience consistently, that you can build true accountability partners that will not only pray for you, but walk side by side with you through this process. And so if all people that are able to please stand at this time, and as our minister of music will lead us in our song, the doors of church are now open. Why don't you come? Why don't you come?
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord.
as customary, we don't rush by this time, because we know some of us are a little stiff-necked, some of us a little hard-headed. But God's grace is sufficient, amen? God loves us even in spite of our own selves. And if you know that this morning that God has been tugging on your heart and your mind to accept the call of salvation or to accept the call of membership, we now extend one more opportunity for you to make a decision to make that turn.
Come on, let's thank God for that message today. Amen. It's always in order when you can be challenged to look at yourself and make a shift in your direction and how you're moving, how you're living. So many times in life, we can get so caught up in what we're going through that we miss the fact that we're off mission. It's a subtle drift that can take place. And sometimes you need to be reminded, check out where you are. And if God feels far away, guess who moved? Yeah, because he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Stuff is not right. Prayers are not answered. It's not because he can't answer prayers. Maybe you've just been praying the wrong prayers, right? It always bothers me how so many times in this environment that we live in, with cotton candy theology and pep rally preaching, that folk tell you all you got to do is get to Friday. You don't have to change how you live in Monday through Thursday. Just get to Friday and God's going to turn your situation around. Now, why would God change the outcome when you haven't changed the input? Amen. Amen. So, we need to be reminded the importance of repentance and obedience showing up on the other side of a blessing showing up on the other side of our obedience. Come on, let's thank God for Reverend Bordelon one more time. Amen.